Back talking with Joel Skousen. If you'd like a free complimentary copy, that's redundant. If you'd like a complimentary copy of World Affairs Brief, or if you'd like a free copy of World Affairs Brief, all you have to do is ask for it. Just write to Joel at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Tell him you heard him here and you'd like very much to have a sample copy at no charge, and you will get it. And hopefully you'll be able to subscribe thereafter and remain as informed as anybody could want. All right, Las Vegas. Now, I've been watching this since about 3 hours after it happened, every day, up to 18 hours a day. And I put all what I think are the important pieces up there on the homepage for people to look at and to be able to have access to. There have been more developments today. But I want to talk just a little bit about this video. This young man and his girlfriend went through one of the most horrific events that two people or one person could go through and survived. And what this horrific event is, in my view, is a massively applied terrorist attack against a certain specific group of Americans. A genocide, if you will, and the description that that young man gave, I thought, given what he had been through, the chaos, the stress, the woman was just an emotional wreck. Talk about PTSD. I thought it was an extraordinary experience to sit there and listen to that. I thought he did a remarkable job in keeping a good cadence of the events that they went through, and so many things happened that I put it up and I highly recommend it.
A young guy and his girlfriend in his probably early 20s. You know, this is not a sophisticated, well-spoken person. He's not dumb by any means. He's quite smart by the way that he shoots off rapid-fire memory, etc. But he comes off completely sincere. I mean, I can tell somebody who's, you know, crafting a story and yep. hemming and hawing and making it around. This guy is just no pauses, just goes 1, 2, 3 right through the thing and shows emotion in it. He's absolutely credible in terms of his sincerity.
I totally concur. I make my living listening to people, voices, and I heard exactly what you just described. He could not possibly have been more sincere.
The important story for your listeners, you know, is that he talks about after they got out of the shooting arena where the people were being shot, et cetera, they go to the Tropicana across the street, and they're herded in to people trying to get them into the casino. And he meets this one big burly guy with looks like he's an official of somebody. He's got this big metallic suitcase. And
yeah, he has olive skin, too. He pointed to his skin color, Middle Eastern hue.
And he says, you know, we can't, he says, well, why can't I go out the door, you know, and get out of here? I don't want to go into a room. I don't want to be with people. And he says, no, you can't go out there. Go into the casino. Trying to herd everybody into the casino. And while they're arguing with this thing, gunfire erupts into the casino of the Tropicana. And this guy rushes into the melee, meaning this is a guy who's probably got some kind of you know, machine pistol there in his
right.
his suitcase that he brings out to either.
And he was late for his shooting.
Yeah, there are, and I in last week's World Affairs Brief, I did cover as much as I knew about the shooting the day after, and or a couple of days after. And one of the important things is the video that I pointed people to that do show one of the security guards opening fire on the crowd. And one of the interesting things about all this multiple shooter thing here is this could be very easily proven and solved if, in fact, in the autopsy of these people or the coroners, that the bullets were actually compared. You'd find 9mm bullets, you're going to find rifle bullets, you're going to find various different kinds of machine pistol bullets, and they're not going to match the two, you know, AR-style 15 rifles that were among the 23 that were supposedly with the bump stock modifications of Stephen Paddock. And, of course, you know, there's no, with all the rounds that were expended, you know, estimated at 800 to 900 rounds at least, you'd be ankle deep in brass in empty cartridge brass, you know, in his hotel room. And you see a few scattered around from the police picture that was leaked on that.
Did you see my photo analysis?
All that automatic fire took place from that hotel room.
Correct. Did you see the photo analysis I did with all those pictures?
Which photo analysis are you talking about?
All the photos that were leaked from the crime scene in the hotel room, the suite.
Yes, I have seen those.
Okay. I put marks on them and arrows and so forth. No question. Where's the brass?
Yeah.
Where are the casings?
Now, you know, one of the things that they did, whoever did this setup, to set Paddock up, you know, did their homework. When I first heard this automatic fire, and I'm a former military officer and I know automatic fire, and this had the rate, you know, you can tell by the rate, you know, an AR-15 can go up as high as 950 rounds a minute. This was about 600 rounds per minute, these weapons that were firing, which is a slower rate of fire typical of a belt-fed squad automatic weapon that the Marine Corps and the Army uses. But the point is the bump stock, there were certain signatures in the videos or in the audio of and video that indicated a bump stock was being used. And one of those is the rate of fire changes. It slows down at the end, and you can hear that in a couple of instances. Because you operate a bump stock by pushing forward on the handguard or the forward pistol guard, which often they add to them. And then if you're trying to stop and you release that pressure, the actual cyclic rate slows down. And that doesn't happen with a belt-fed automatic weapon. Now, you only hear that once or twice, a variation of rapid. The other times, they're absolutely solid. And so it indicated to me that there were belt-fed automatics being shot, as well as a bump stock, as well as you know, a machine pistol, which we saw in the video, the security guard bringing one up, and you see the light flashes from the weapon going off, illuminating the people in front of him.
Would you please send me that video? I've got a degraded version of it. You might have a better version. I really need to see that again.
Well, no, I think there's only one version, and it happens very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to have a version where it's slowed down, where you see it in slow motion and where it becomes very clear. You can see both hands hit the weapon as he brings it up from his side.
I'd really like to see that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's in the World Affairs brief, which you get.
Very good.
But in any case, if people, you know, email me, they'll still get a copy of the World Affairs brief from Friday that has this video. But the slow motion where you see the security guard open up near Point Blank Range also matches. A lady was on Michael Savage, who was a survivor, and said, I was standing there and my friend got shot from a different direction. You know, she was got shot in the stomach and her back was turned to the Mandalay Bay, proving that there were shots coming from other.
Right.
But here's the question, Jeff. Why the cover-up? I mean, they were shooting at the Bellagio. The whole entrance lobby was shot out, shooting at the Tropicana in the casino, shots coming, according to this video that you just sent me, shots coming from the New Yorker or Excalibur outside the casino, wasn't inside the building itself, but from that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why the complete denial of all of these others? If you're going to make the case for terrorism, I'm going to spook people about the phony war on terror more and more, why cover up all of the other shootings that were there and the complete denial and point to the single shooter? It reminds me
because
of the JFK assassination and the Oswald thing.
It's simply a matter of business. They can't have that out in the world. Nobody will go to Las Vegas. I'm safe nowhere in Las Vegas. The Bellagio, New York, the Trop, Mandalay, where am I safe? There were also reports of gunfire in Caesar's Palace. I've got an eyewitness who claims there were at least 20 rounds fired off in Caesar's Palace. This was a very wide-ranging, sophisticated attack with multiple shooter teams or individual shooters in the case of perhaps the Bellagio. No photographs of the Bellagio, not even prior photographs were circulated of the front entrance. The woman said that the windows were clearly shot out. The local news channel that I used to work at for nearly 3 years there as news director wouldn't even send a reporter over there. They had a reporter sitting down in the studio saying, well, there are reports about the Bellagio and blah, 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 and nothing really happened there, and these reports are erroneous, and that's all they did. So you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the media is owned by the city. The city is owned by international business interests. And those shootings, had they been announced as being in four or five different places, would have been even worse for business. I guarantee it. One more shooting event, Las Vegas is on its knees. It's that touchy. So they couldn't admit any of these, Joel. That's why.
Well, it is very convenient they point to the single shooter thing and blame this on the bump stocks. You know, the only loophole in the automatic weapons ban in the United States, and it's not an effective one. Anyone who shot a bump stock realizes you can't hit anything at even 25 yards.
It's a toy adaptation. You can't do anything. You're right.
It's just to get the thrill of running automatic without being able to hit anything. It just has no purpose.
It's stupid. It's totally stupid.
Now, one of the other videos that came out that is a must-see, and I'm going to cover that in this week's World Affairs Brief, is Mike Adams' forensic audio. Taking that, putting it apart, and realizing. And one thing that I had not realized, even as a military person, because I don't usually take incoming rounds in the military on pavement, but you hear this clicking sound, which is different from the report of a machine gun. And that's the bullets hitting the pavement, giving kind of a high-pitched clicking sound as they're hitting the pavement. And I could hear this, and then click, 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 and then boom, 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 and you hear. And what he did is realize, yeah, this is the bullets hitting the pavement, and then the report, and you can check the timing between the click, 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 and the boom, boom, boom that comes out afterwards and determine the distance that they're firing from based upon the type of weapon that they claim that was using. And he's got two different types. Remember, he's limited to what you've got in the audios that are various circulating. And there's a lot of shooting going on in a distance at other places that he can't hear any pavement clicks. So the only thing that he can judge by are the two shooters that were shooting at the actual venue. And one was at 250 yards and the other was 600 yards coming from the Mandalay Bay. And we know now it wasn't at least much from the 32nd floor, as much it was from somewhere between the 4th and the 10th floor, where you see all these muzzle flashes going off. But there was some shooting, obviously because of the shell casings there, or they could have planted them. But
I think they were a plant. I'm not convinced that Paddock shot anything in that room. I think the shell casings were planted. I've made clear through my analysis that one of the shell casings sitting in the thicker pool of blood has blood on top of the edges of it. It didn't roll over. It was dropped in there, and whoever dropped it had picked it up and got a smudge on it. The smudge is clear. In my view, Stephen Paddock, who used to work at Lockheed Martin in their top secret.
That was a long time ago.
That's right. He still had top secret clearance, and that could have certainly nurtured some early black ops military affiliations with him. That goes back, as you say, a long time. But I do think there's a very good chance that Stephen Paddock was an arms dealer, an arms merchant, working for one or more elements within this government or perhaps another government. He had the aircraft for it. He took over 20 cruises to locations where weapons deals could easily be imagined to be made. I think that the weapons were brought up to that room on the service elevator, not by him, but by people who were charged with bringing them up there. I think that they were laid out, and I think he had a business meeting with clients scheduled for around 10 o'clock, and they were going to go through the weapons and make purchases. I think he went in.
Let me show why I disagree with that analysis.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe there has to be some connection with Stephen Paddock with the deep state. He was in accounting services with Lockheed Martin, not anything special, but that doesn't preclude sometime along his career getting involved in the deep state. But the point is, because first of all, you don't make $5 million profit a year gambling like he does.
No, of course not.
That just doesn't happen. So he's getting his income somewhere else, and it's being laundered
through
the casinos.
Yeah.
But The problem with the gun dealer thing is that, first of all, these weapons that were seen here were traced to various gun shops in three different states, and they've interviewed the people, and they remember the guy.
Correct.
Now, gun dealers don't buy retail and market and shop these guns around.
No, only for demonstration purposes, though. Props. We can get you this,
well,
we can get you that,
no
we can get
there's,
you...
There's no evidence of... gun dealers are, I mean, this is a very big market worldwide, and you don't just have small town dealers who go around. I mean, gun dealers never buy retail weapons where they go through the background checks. Never. Unheard of.
Did you
and
hear...
So, you know, I just... Yeah, the point is, I'm thinking... There's some other explanation for why he's buying these weapons and getting set up. I mean, someone, his handler, is getting him to go and buy these weapons so that they can be traced. And however they got up to the room, you know, we don't know, but there's a lot of weapons and a lot of weight, you know, to get up the room. Why won't they reveal the security cameras? I mean, look at the security at the
Mandalay Bay. Oh, they had it all.
They knew when his car left the garage, that was one of the things they came out with. Somebody else was in the room with him because there was another phone charger that didn't match any of his phones. And when someone was using his key card into the room while his car was out of the garage. Well, now how do you track a civilian car? That must mean that anything they put in the windshield has an RFID chip in it to tell the Mandalay Bay when that car goes out or
in. Did you hear... this is important. I want to make sure I get this in. Did you hear his brother Eric slip up when he was giving his second interview and say that my brother was he almost said arms dealer. He got AR out and then he stopped and he said, oh, I'm sorry. Please don't. You want to hear that? This is amazing.
I have not heard that before. But
all right. This is very suggestive. That his brother knew that Stephen Paddock was in the arms business, and that's where all the money came from. At what level, I can't tell you. Here is Eric Paddock, clearly rattled. He's been going on for 15 minutes at this point in the interview. I've got it posted. Just completely disheveled in his speech. He's chattering. He's been talked to, okay? He's shook. Now, he slips up. And I think let the cat out of the bag. You'll hear it, and he'll stop, and he'll say, I'm sorry, and he is scared big time. Here we go.
I mean, it's something he just does every week.
You use the phrase evil genius. Do you think that he was?
I'm sorry. I mean, that's the thing I shouldn't have said. But that's what people are, I mean, that he's this... You know, but he's a highly intelligent. There's absolutely no. And this is the other part that I want to stress with this.
Here we go.
It doesn't matter that they won't chase people, but people are saying, oh, he must have had help. Steve had no help. Steve didn't take help. It did not take a village for Steve. Steve was I'm sorry. Please don't. I'm using a colloquial. I was about to use a colloquial term that would besmudge one of the armed forces.
He was asking the media, please don't use that. And he stopped himself. I've done enough interviews to know exactly what happened there. He said Steve was an arms merchant, and he stopped himself at AR and then said, I'm sorry. Who was he saying I'm sorry
but he
to?
But he explained and said that he was...
He's quick on his
avoiding
feet.
...avoiding using a military term.
Yeah, he's very quick. I agree. I don't know if that's sincere. I don't know what to tell you, but that was a very interesting slip.
Yeah, that was.
It's like
that
you
very,
here
going
we go.
To Publix.
One more time.
I mean, it's something he just does every week.
You use the phrase evil genius. Do you think that he was?
I'm sorry. I mean, that's the thing I shouldn't have said, but that's what people are... I mean, that he's this... You know, but he's a highly intelligent. There's absolutely no. And this is the other part that I want to stress with this. It doesn't matter that they won't chase people. But people are saying, "Oh, he must have had help." Steve had no help. Steve didn't take help. It did not take a village for Steve. Steve was an I'm sorry. Please don't. I was about to use a colloquial term that would besmudge one of the armed forces. Steve was a standalone guy.
Okay, there you go. Make of it what you will.
Well, in any case, this was a setup, and he was the patsy. He was the Oswald, as in the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
And
he was executed in there. Yeah.
So many anomalies. I mean, for example, I posted a video that showed all of the blocked out windows from the area which we saw the videos of the weapons, muzzle flashes of the automatic weapons going off somewhere around the lower half of the building. And sure enough, the next day, you can see blackened out panels of glass, not the shiny gold tinted glass like is typical of the Mandalay, and some of the, even of the higher level. One of the glass workers who installed that said, if you know how to do it, you can easily take those windows in and out. Well, clearly, panels had been replaced the day after.
Yep.
And I think those were shooting positions of where most of the automatic fire actually came from.
I concur 100%. Yes. No doubt. They were black. They weren't reflective. And they had been put in there. The glass worker said, as you remember, you can take one out in 60 seconds if you know what you're doing to clean them. That's how they clean them. Take them out, clean them, put them in. So I agree. We'll watch this. It's getting to be crazier all the time. What did you make of the FBI slapping Sheriff Lombardo down when he said Paddock must have had help along the way somewhere?
Of course, he came out after talking about the somebody else must have been in the room, you know, and said, but there's only one shooter. We are convinced there's only one shooter. Why break out two windows?
That's right.
And why have a room? Remember, he got this suite complimentary, but they don't give an adjoining room next door complimentary to anybody.
No need.
Well, you get a suite complimentary.
Not when you're a solo person.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Joel, thank you.
Go ahead.
No, thank you. You finish your last comment there.
Just saying there's no reason, by the way, to have 23 weapons up there unless it's a setup. I mean, if you're going to do a shooting, you take up an automatic weapon, maybe two because the barrels get hot, but 23, that's a setup.
Absolutely. 120 Muslims work in the Mandalay, approximately. 10,000 live in Las Vegas, approximately. And don't you think there might be a few radicalized Muslims in there?
No, I don't think that this is a radicalized Muslim. Remember, ISIS is a U.S. intelligence.
Correct,
intelligence,
but they're still Muslim. Yes, understood. They have endless numbers of shooters they can bring in here. Endless.
Right. And, but only under U.S. direction.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Joel. And